The doubters ask, hasn't archaeology disproven the biblical account? No, my ignorant friend. Archaeology has not disproven the biblical account. That's not the soft answer we would give. But we would say, thank you for your interest in the Bible and archaeology. It's interesting that you brought this up. In fact, it's quite the opposite of disproving anything about the Bible. I was sad to hear about this perhaps crazy man crashed his truck into a Mormon church up north in Michigan, crashed in through the front door, jumped out, started shooting people, children. Two church members are dead, others, like eight injured, and then set the place on fire. He didn't have anything to do with the church. He was not a disgruntled member or anything. Mormonism is a cult, but, you know, it's a place of worship. It's a place people come to organize themselves around one another and so on. But Mormonism is an example. I'm giving a bad example, so I didn't want to say I'm down on Mormons. They're having enough problems as it is. But they invented the trickster that started the whole thing, invented a history of Mormonism that includes the American Indians and early, what we might call prehistory for America, that Jesus came a second time and won people to himself here and started the Mormon church that way. This rather intricate story has been, through these years, checked and rechecked and found faulty, that there is no evidence that what they say happened actually happened. Not so with the Bible. Not so. So let's ask the question, what is archaeology? Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. Archaeology, technically, is the scientific study of the material remains of past human life and activities. You catch that? The things you left over. These remains include artifacts, things made, architecture, things built, biofacts, like bones and seeds, and bio meaning living things, things that had been alive, and cultural landscapes, what things were like at that point. So it involves three things: scientific study. Modern archaeology uses systematic methods, including excavation, dating techniques like radiocarbon dating, and spatial analyses. Spatial is not special, but dealing with space, with room. Material remains. This includes everything from stone tools and pottery to buildings, graves, and trash. Our garbage dumps are a field day for archaeologists of the future coming back and seeing how we lived. They like plastic, he says. And then human life and activities. The focus is on understanding how people lived, how they worked, how they worshipped, and how they interacted. But there's also, I said three, there's four, interpretation. One thing is finding it, then another is trying to put it together. Archaeologists aim to place their findings in its historical context. Not enough just to say, we found these on a hill, you know. This is to put it into the historical context. Often, because of this, they supplement what history tells us. We supplement the historical context or the filling of gaps where no historical context exists. So by doing this, then the history becomes richer, becomes more picturesque, if you will. It's important to note that archaeology without history is meaningless. It'd just be interesting stuff we found in the dirt. So archaeology shows a sequence of cultural development, but not an exact chronology. Only history gives us the chronology, the events, the people, and the places. Now, the Middle East, particularly the area of Israel, is the subject of many archaeological excavations because of its continued history. They have lived there in that same place, called it by the same name, for thousands of years now. And in many cases, things are built one on top of the other. There have been cases all over the ancient world where volcanoes erupted, earthquakes, a lot of earthquakes, places that were buried, and they let the dust clear, and they came and they patted it down, and they built another. By digging down underneath, they find the remnants of old cities. So when you go over there, you walk where Jesus walked. It's just an interesting concept. It's not like he might have been somebody. No, it was right here. This is it. All of Israel is about the size of Indiana, not the size of the United States. So what is archaeology? It's this. It's a scientific study that means they find the actual things. They understand what was done, they're impressed by it or disgusted or whatever it is, and they say this belonged to that section. So let us then ask, what has the archaeology found about the Bible? Has it disproven anything? No. In the past 100 years, archaeology has confirmed some history of the Bible, and I say confirmed, not proven. We do not look to something outside the Bible to prove the Bible. We take the Bible to be God's word. God claimed it to be his word. God pronounces it his word. And so that is really enough proof for us. It's a matter of faith. However, as different from the Mormon mythology, we would expect that what we read of the history could be, they could find some evidence of it. And so when they do find that evidence, and it's just like what the Bible said, then we say it's confirmed, you see. It confirms. The Bible is true whether or not it is confirmed, but it's nice for us to smile and say, I'm glad they found that. Let me give you several examples. One is Jericho and Nineveh. To us, cities that, are well known in the Bible. But these ancient sites, ancient cities, have been discovered and excavated, confirmed many things that the Bible says. So you could go there and check this out. Secondly, biblical figures of King Hezekiah and Pontius Pilate. Names in the Bible that a lot of historians said, we don't have any record of that. And by that, they mean it's not true. What it did mean was that they didn't know enough. Their names have been discovered on written material of the times, as we would expect. C, the obscure individual Asaiah. If you were on a Bible trivia thing, you said, who is Asaiah? You go, oh, I don't know, somebody's son? But he was the servant of King Josiah, and the evidence of his name has been written on a 2,600-year-old clay seal found in Jerusalem. How cool is that? And they had the soft clay, the seal was put into it. When it solidified, it became hardened, like pottery. And then discarded, it was just an old seal, but finding it was a treasure. Sodom and Gomorrah. Interestingly, for many years, the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, were considered mythological. Oh, the story of how God blew it up and they were bad and so on. Recently, excavations at Tel Mardik in Syria, now known to be the site of ancient Ebla, uncovered about 15,000 tablets of clay. when some of these were translated, mention was made of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were a beautiful place. The Bible itself says it was like the Garden of Eden. Beautifully fertile. Then God blasted it pretty much out of existence. Seemed like he blew it up from underneath. And so now it's the Dead Sea. Belshazzar. We talked about that when we were going through Sunday school and dealing with Daniel and Belshazzar. All the Persian historians said, we have no record of a Belshazzar. It's made up. It's not true. It's a mythology story of the handwriting on the wall and of the hand writing on the wall. Yeah. And then, oops, they found the records. So archaeology uncovered proof that there was indeed a ruler named Belshazzar. He was the son of Nabonidus, the last emperor, the last king. And that king hightailed it when things got hot and left his son there to receive the guests. Another one that I thought was interesting is the Hittites. You read about Joshua going into the promised land and talks about the Hittites. And the know-it-all, you know, historian saying, there is no such thing as Hittites. And then they discovered, from top to bottom, the Hittite nation was vast, and there were headquarters up north, but they ruled a great deal. And so they found these similar things all over the place and finally identified who they were. Well, these are the Hittites. So archaeology uncovered proof that the Hittites not only existed, but also had a vast empire. Sargon of Assyria. Archaeology uncovered proof that King Sargon ruled in Assyria. And then in the book of Acts, as we've been through the book of Acts, we found over and over again that archaeology uncovered matters that confirm the history in the book of Acts. Luke, the author, was found accurate to name people, leaders, praetors, and so on. He used the name of these leaders that was true of the time Paul visited, when a few years before and after, the leadership would have been different. And the so-called know-it-alls, they didn't know that it changed. So over and over and over again. I have a couple of books, thick books, inch and a quarter, inch and a half thick, that are called Archaeology and the Bible, and stuff like that. This is a great study, a fruitful study, and one that, and really since the 1850s on, and it, continuing on, we're still getting information. You don't have the vibrant Christian archaeologist digging it out and giving the information back to us, more of the Jewish, but they're still finding things in Jerusalem, digging down and checking things out. The third thing I want to mention is about negative proof. You can't prove anything negatively, but so far, archaeology has verified and in no case disputed historical points of the biblical record. Don't you find that just amazing? There are things they found that they don't understand, and they haven't pinned it to the right place in history yet, but so far nothing. And if it was rightly done, we know that it will never disprove anything. It doesn't dispute the Bible. But in fact, if we were to understand it correctly, it would enhance Jericho, for instance. The excavations there found that normally when you attack a city with walls, you break the walls and they fall in. These walls fell out. They just, like they were pushing it from the inside, which of course they weren't. God did that. And so it all fell down, building something of a hill that you could climb up over and get inside. That was when they blew the trumpets, remember. God conquered it. So it just gives you a bigger picture, a closer picture of what was happening in the Bible. But let me mention the limits of archaeology. While archaeology can verify history and shed light on various passages of the Bible, it cannot prove the Bible is the Word of God. Do not pin your hopes on archaeology or the science of men in any way proving the Bible. Understand that most people are not saved. Most people that are given to science and maybe archaeology are not saved. They're not going to be motivated to interpret this thing correctly. In fact, they would be motivated to interpret it wrongly. There was a chest found, an ossuary box, a bone box. And let me try to remember, Brother Jeb was telling me about this. And the name on it was, I think, Joseph. And this would have been Jesus' adopted father, Joseph, from that period of time. And so everybody that looked at it completely verified that that was the time of it, that it was truly the Jewish ossuary box. They would bury them places, and then when all the flesh was gone, they would gather the bones together and put them in these boxes, and then they could use that place for the next body. So all the way through. Then finally, the top archaeologist, a Jew, looked it over and said, no, it's a fake. And that was it. So you can't trust things run by men. He would have a reason. He would have mixed interests in this thing. All right, then let me speak to you of the Vindicated Bible. And with this, I'll close. We'll have time for singing and joke-telling later. Vindicated Bible. One cannot stress too strongly the importance that the Bible gives an accurate historical picture. Why is this important to us? Over the past century, archaeological discoveries have consistently affirmed the historical reliability of the Bible. This is important because God chose to reveal His truth in the context of history. It would be interesting if the Bible was an encyclopedia. And under A, we turn to angels and we read everything that God ever wanted to say about angels. But He doesn't do it that way. He tells us a history where angels intercede and interact and so on. So we read the story, and the work of God is seen in His history. His story, history. So Christianity is a historical faith, not a bunch of theories, not a bunch of philosophies like Hinduism, book after book after book, thousands of books, where these leaders spouted their philosophy, their way of thinking about it. Christianity is not that. It's a historical faith. And it claims that God broke into history with many mighty acts. To confirm its history, then, is to confirm that what the Bible is saying, the main structure of the Bible, is true. Now, these findings, archaeological findings, do not merely support the existence of places or people. They validate the entire Bible's narrative framework, the framework of history. And what it's saying is true, is right. Persons, places, and events can be investigated historically. If the Bible were found incorrect in its history, then serious doubt could be cast on the trustworthiness of its unverified areas. We can't trust it in what we can verify, so why should we trust it what we can't? But the opposite is true. If the Bible's historical record, especially areas dismissed by doubters as myth or legend, has been proven trustworthy, then its account of even miraculous events cannot be dismissed out of hand. So the ignorant person says, oh, miracles don't happen, so that can't be true. Check into the history. This history has been verified. This is the eyewitness account of something that happened that isn't happening today, but definitely happened then. Miracles, by definition, transcend natural explanation, so we can't find a natural explanation for it. That's what a miracle is. But if the context in which they are reported is historically sound, then the discussion of these miracles, deserves serious consideration, not casual rejection. You are not superior by just dismissing this thing in a definitely clear historic context being told. Logic demands that if Scripture is proven accurate in historical things, then it cannot be ruled out because it mentions things not seen today. You see the connection? The history becomes important for the non-historic part of the Bible. Archaeology has shown the Bible to be a credible witness to ancient history. The man who did all the study of the area, his name starts with R, but anyway, it escapes me right now. But the path of Paul's missionary trip, he went through there and in fact started then using, doubting at first, but he became convinced, and he started using the book of Acts as the help to him to find where the old city was. And he found it all true. His statement, I've read it before someplace, that he said the Bible has been shown to be an accurate, tiny accuracies, unexpected accuracies of all these areas. So, to throw out its testimony on miracles simply because they defy modern expectations is not sound reasoning. It is selective skepticism. Do you catch the idea? It's proven true in all the things it said, and then it says, and a miracle happened there, and you're saying, well, it can't be a miracle. You're selectively skeptic. So let me close with this phrase. The stones cry out. Christ talked about that at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If these were quiet, the stones would have to cry out. And here we find the stones crying out, archaeological witness, in testimony that the Bible is not merely a book of faith, where he says strange things, we just have to believe it, but it is a book of truth rooted in history. And that history enhanced for us by archaeology. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you've given us an interesting concept here to realize that you're telling us the truth, whether people like it or don't like it, whether they want to believe it or don't. If they're going to believe in truth, then they will end up believing that what the Bible says is so. I ask that you might help us to recognize that since you have chosen to tell us the story of God, the story of God's people, the story of the beginning and the end of humanity, the ending conditions of humanity, you tell us that in the story of life, in the chronology of what is happening and what will happen. And so, Father, we thank you that in the times that we've had, in the ways that archaeology has been enhanced by ground-penetrating radar and all these things. We just ask that you might help us to see, smilingly, that your word is being confirmed even day by day, much to the chagrin of all the doubters. And we pray that you might guide and direct us into that truth, and then all the more just assume that what we're reading in the Bible is true, and we will be right because it is. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.